And those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Be a saint. What else is there? Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show. It's time for
the oldest hosts on WGBB. and the name of the show is, wait a minute, I'm having a senior moment. What's the name of the show?
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
And what's your name?
My name is Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and you're Dr. John Palmer, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus, right?
Yeah, I hope he loves us after we finish talking on the radio.
He does. And we got a great show today.
Oh, you say that every week.
Don't leave, because we got a great show. We got Deacon Frank Gonzalez.
Who?
Deacon Frank Gonzalez, dear friend of ours, and his lovely wife,
singer, you know.
Karen Gonzalez.
You know,
so
Frank,
welcome to our show.
Frank is a singer.
Thank you.
Excuse me?
Frank is a singer.
Oh, yes, he is a singer, and I asked him to bring some discs, but he didn't have any.
And Karen's a dancer. Did you know that?
Yes, she's one of those...
she's a cheerleader.
Dance for Jesus.
Hey, guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And
beautiful morning today.
And thank you for accepting
Coming
our
to the microphone.
Invitation.
Microphones help.
Yeah. 3 inches away, as Palmer would say. Oh, 3 inches away, as Palmer would say. How's that?
That sounds okay.
Good. So anyway, thank you for accepting our invitation, our humble invitation.
Thank you for
inviting
me here. There's a lot of things that we got to talk about, but we'll let you guys do some talking. So who should we start with, Karen or Frank first?
Frank, let's start with Frank. Hey, Frank, go ahead, ask him.
Frank, you're a deacon.
What's it like?
That's correct. Not for 10 years already.
Oh, it's 10 years?
10 years this year. That's
oh,
correct.
My
do
Lord.
Do you walk on water?
I'm lucky I can tread water.
Yeah. Frankie.
Yes.
Listen, you know what? I believe there's a lot of listeners that know about deacons but don't really know. What is a deacon? Can you explain what a deacon really is? Where does it stand in the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, to tell you, Anthony, you know, if you look at the Book of Acts,
yes,
the apostles and right. needed assistance in order to deal with the orphans and the widows.
Right.
So they selected honorable men from the congregation, and they sent them out. A lot of people don't know St. Stephen, the first martyr, was a deacon.
Yes.
St. Francis of Assisi was a deacon.
Yes, was not never a priest.
That's right. And if you look at the picture of Pope Francis when he did the washing of the feet last year, he wore his deacon's stole.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
That's
correct.
Yeah.
And all priests are transitional deacons before they are raised to the...
Year before.
That's correct, before they become
they
ordained
become a
as
deacon
priests.
And then they become a priest.
And you have to study. How many
you
years?
Have to study. You have to study. You know, after Vatican II, because... reinstituted the office of the diaconate, which diaconate is from Greek, which means to serve. Presently, there's initial year to determine if this is what you want to do, and then there's 3 years of study after that at the seminary, the Immaculate Conception Seminary in Huntington.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, not everyone can be a deacon. You could have the desire. You think you may have it to go calling, and they're very selective in the sense that... you have to be interviewed. They make sure they check with your family. They speak with your wife. They
Very
your children. That's right. And believe it or not, they do psychological evaluations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's a very big thing.
You know.
They
that's
really
why,
do.
That's why I couldn't be a deacon.
I figured that. I was,
they
I was
checked
thinking.
Me out and said, no, he doesn't cut
I was
it. He doesn't cut it.
You have a
special
blade.
Yeah, I was figuring about that.
And, you know, people ask me, you know, why did you want to be a deacon? I'm going to tell you something.
I thought
I thought about that. I never aspired to be a deacon. In fact, I had taken Pastoral Formation Institute several years ago. I didn't even know what a deacon was until I heard some of my classmates talking about it. You know, and I really had to discern, you know, what is this about? You know, and You know, I didn't go to Catholic school. None of my brothers and sisters went to Catholic school.
I didn't either. My mother didn't send me because she thought it was too hard for me.
I went to religious instruction. I went to religious instruction. And you know, you made me think. And I guess the reason I sensed that this was a calling, because I've always had a love for God, even as a young child. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn. I was probably the best of the bad kids, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, mischievous, but never that much in trouble. And they say God.
Come on, tell the truth. Well, your wife is saying, "Oh no, he's lying."
No, he was a Halo person.
Oh, my wife met me after I had grown up out of Brooklyn. Okay. That's what it was.
Oh,
you know, and God loves sinners. So as a kid, I sinned twice as much. So He loved me twice as much. That's what it was. I entered the program, and you know, it's been a journey. It's always a journey, always learning of yourself and your relationship with God and what love means.
And they emphasize a personal, intimate relationship with God, did they not?
Yes, they did.
Well, in reality, a deacon is clergy. It's part of the clergy.
You are ordained as a deacon of the church.
It's part of the clergy. That there's priests, there's bishops. There's deacon, priest, and bishops. Correct?
That is correct.
Right? And they are absolutely part of the clergy.
Right.
And there are certain functions deacons cannot do, and there are certain functions deacons can do, like baptism and things like that. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
But you can't say Mass, and you can't hear confession.
That is correct.
Right.
Right. But so that's kind of good for Karen. Because she doesn't have to tell you all the things she's doing.
Yeah.
I'm always confessing to my wife. On knees sometimes, but that's okay.
But the main thing is you have the privilege of being on the altar doing Mass.
And the beautiful thing is, Anthony, is this, you don't have to be an ordained individual in the sense of being ordained by the church to share in the Eucharist and life of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what the gift of God's love is all about.
You know, I just want to mention the deacon, the diacon, is one of the most successful programs in the Catholic Church since it started, since the, I think it was the conference when they started with the diaconship.
That's correct.
I think that grew it faster than any segment of the Catholic Church.
And I think we have about 350, if not more, deacons in the diocese.
And the diaconate program in the Diocese of Rockville Center is one of the premier model programs as to how to set up a program in the United States.
Yeah, I can tell you, 1994, it had 94,431 deacons.
But not in Rockville Center.
No.
In Universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And it's been growing in leaps and bounds ever since. At one point, recently, I think, they had to stop ordaining deacons because they had so many in Rockville Center, I think.
Well, I think what you're talking about is a few years ago they put it under review to
review.
But I don't know if that was the reasoning before that. They just, for 1 year.
Right, they had to reassess the program, see how it was proceeding, what needed to, if anything needs to be tweaked.
I want to ask Karen a question. Do you have to have incense at the dinner table? And how is it being married to a deacon?
It's no different than being married to a doctor. You know, we all have that calling, regardless, in our lives.
You don't want to say that to me. I killed two wives. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's true, though, because no matter what, I think part of the magnitude of this diaconate programming being so alive in our diocese is that, and, you know, throughout the world, is that the lay people stand up and come, you know, to that altar, and that happens through the marriage, you know, mm-hmm. in that act of love, and then the love of the church. So it's mm-hmm. really very, very closely united, and I believe that, you know, the marriage is our own little church, and then you're bringing it out. So that really is a connection to the diaconate, that the laity will come up, and there's a need.
Do you have children?
We have three sons.
What do they think of this?
Well, you know, they're funny, my boys. You know,
We have three men.
Now they're men. But when they were younger, they would be like, "Daddy's using his God voice," you know?
Uh-oh.
You know, from the pulpit, the God voice always comes. So, you know, they're funny. But, no, they was very, very supportive, you know, in the community. They were also very active in our church. So, you know, it was, it just seemed like a natural thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really was very natural. It wasn't something unusual. We were
You're
there
being
all the
very
time
modest,
anyway.
Karen, because the truth of the matter is that if it wasn't for you, and it wasn't for the wives, people would not become deacons. And behind every good man,
well, I can't
there's a
disagree.
Great woman. So I certainly believe that the wives play an important role.
Well, the unity of that marriage does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I think that, you know, if you have a role, but it's behind the scene role.
Mm-hmm.
It's behind the scenes, but it's an important role.
Frank, how does it affect you, in business as a lawyer? How does it affect you? Does it?
Well, actually, you know, it has to do with your perception of how you approach life. If you look at things like, what is the right thing to do? How is God working this? You know, can you treat everyone with respect and the value that they have that God has given to them? Because when you give people value regardless of what station they have in life, when they come into your office to ask for advice or just a question, if you treat them as on equal terms, you know, because you never lord yourself because of your secular position, because I'm an attorney, or your religious position, because I'm a deacon, and we're just people, you're just equal before God, people are at peace, and they... whatever problems they may have are much more easily resolvable and able to live with, because we all need to be able to live in faith and with courage.
Mm-hmm.
And when you speak with people that they're never really alone, you know, then you have done God's work, whether it be at home or in the marketplace.
Do you pray with people in your business?
With certain people I do, because they are people of faith, and they know of my office.
Mm-hmm.
It transcends into that.
For Johnny,
because it takes part and part takes over your whole life.
Yeah.
You're always a deacon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter
Absolutely.
What.
And you brought up an important point, John.
I did.
I like to emphasize it. You really did. That's why you want. That's why I like hanging out with you. We're trying. One of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to convert people, but we're also trying to present professionals that have a Catholic perspective to the listeners, to the people, and that can give the Catholic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Frank fits two bills. He's a deacon, and he's an attorney, and he can give his clients the Catholic perspective on, and knowing that, you know what Shakespeare said about lawyers, don't you? Kill all the lawyers.
There's
you
a
know?
Lot of jokes about
and Frank knows. I think he's laughing. He knows. But what I'm trying to point out is that with someone with a Catholic perspective, you can deal with a lawyer that knows he has you in mind, Christ in mind,
absolutely,
and your salvation in mind, and he's not going to be one of those shyster type lawyers.
Did you ever hear the story about the cardinal and the lawyer who went to heaven? And then the cardinal got a little tiny little shack down the corner. And then he saw the lawyer got this great big place. And he said to St. Peter, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, we got a lot of cardinals. We only have one lawyer."
That's a good one.
So Joel anyway. Osteen. I stole it from Joel.
It's so funny because I was going to say that, Joel.
Yeah.
You beat me to the punchline.
Okay.
So anyway, the point is that Frank really fits the bill of our mission statement, trying to bring us everyone closer to Christ, trying to convert people to Christ, and giving professional assistance to the listeners that with a Catholic perspective. And be honest with you, thank you very much.
Well, you know what, I thank my wife has been the greatest influence
yes.
on me, because she's
behind
Catholic
every
girl.
Great man is a woman. Yes, absolutely.
Love the show.
Yeah.
But you're also very active in religious events because you're doing something in your own parish coming up
next
weekend.
Week.
Tell the people about it.
Cor Maria is a retreat house in Sag Harbor, and St. Catherine of Siena, our parish in Franklin Square, has been sponsoring that for almost 40 years. So I didn't start it, but I was asked to, take it over, and it's something that's so special to my heart. It's a woman's retreat, and I truly believe that women who do so much, whether they're, behind the man, the family, but we're always doing for others, need to take that time just to be with God. Even, I say, Jesus retreated and went off to pray. And a lot of women feel like, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it, I have to take care of. But it's nice to be able to do that for yourselves. Come and spend some time with the Lord. And Cor Maria is a beautiful retreat house. Sister Anne Marino in Sag Harbor is a beautiful director, spiritual director. And this year I have 37 women coming.
Wow.
It's a beautiful, it really is a beautiful gathering. And what's special about it, too, is on Friday night, a lot of people don't know each other. There are people who come together in little groups and so on. By the end of the retreat Sunday morning at brunch, everybody's hugging each other. It's such a sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you meet God in Sag Harbor, in nature, in the marketplace, holy ground. So there are openings. If anyone is interested, they could contact.
Who
would
they call you?
Karen Gonzalez at St. Catherine of Siena. They could leave me a message. And
give the number. You got the number?
516-352-0146.
Say it again.
516-352-0146.
Great.
And there is transportation leaving from St. Catherine's in Franklin Square as well.
I know a number of women over the years from St. Catherine who have gone on that retreat, and it really just changed their lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they did what you did, Frank. They got to realize God's alive and wants to be with them and touch them in some way.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. It's almost like they go on an encounter.
And you come and you rest in the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very, like I said, holy grounds to come and just be. He says, come and I'll give you rest. Lay down that burden. It's a place to do that. And all those titles you carry along. And, now you could just be with your God and be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to just go and be Karen rather than mommy, daddy. You know what I mean? So I think women need that in this world today, and we all need it, men included.
Do,
and they do also offer men retreats, but we sponsor a women's retreat.
What's the program about? What are you going to have?
Well, in the direction, Sister Anne is the director. I don't direct the retreat. But being that it's on the seasonal, it's always this time of year. We do it every November. So it's a special time before the holidays and everything. So I believe that, it's celebrating the seasons of your life. Mm. I think that's what she's going to
Very interesting.
Be
yeah.
embracing a little bit on that. So
that's neat.
Okay, and you have a speaker? You said you have a speaker?
Just Sister Ann will be directing us.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so
good.
She'll do the conferences. And God is the speaker. Jesus is present. The Holy Spirit moves within that
Good
time.
Point.
And it really is a blessing. I say you go sometimes on empty. And when you come home, you have a full tank. And he restores us. And this is the gift of taking that time with the Lord and spending that alone time. He restores all things.
And you said something, too, that you meet your God.
Yes.
You know what? That's such an important concept because you have a personal relationship with a God who knows your personality and knows exactly how to get through to you.
Isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
But sometimes we're so busy, Dr. Palmer, that, you're running here, you're not taking the time. So when you settle that time in some quietness, you hear those small voices and you hear and you see God through that presence. And, let's just say this. He never disappoints us, right?
Never will.
Never, never disappoints us. So when you take that time, he's just waiting for you.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, he's watching each moment.
Does that all the
time.
Yeah,
all the time.
Absolutely.
So when you get off that spinning wheel, the world, sometimes you take that step back. That's why I said he restores everything that you need. It's
Father
Grishel
wrote a book called A Still Small Voice, mm-hmm. and I use it in counseling because many times people hear all this harsh stuff and whatever, and I said, no, you have to focus. There's another voice in there, and you have to learn to be still, learn to let that voice rise up and talk to your heart. That's God.
That's yes. right.
Be still and know I am God.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Jinx.
One question, a little dopey question, I think, but what's the demographics of the people that are coming, the women that are coming to this conference? Are they
age.
Elderly?
Oh.
Are they young? Are they mixed?
Mix. It's a mix.
Is it?
It's a mix, and that's the beauty of it.
That's what I want to bring out.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. I don't know some of the women who are calling me, right? So when I go into the rooms, I try to, you know, accommodate all these, you know, people and so on. Now, you don't know the ages. I don't ask people how old. So there's different areas. In the main house, there's a staircase in the rooms upstairs. Well, I had four women. They were in their 90s. And I put them up there. I didn't know that they were in their 90s. So when they came in, I was like, oh, my goodness. I never met them before. They were, no, we could take the stairs. I tell you, it gives you strength that, you know, I'm like, really? No, I'll try. No, we're okay with this. I was like, okay, you know. So you have women in their 90s who have this vitality and, you know, the motivation.
Absolutely.
They're there. Then you have, you know, younger mothers.
You have hope, Tony.
I mean, I started going like maybe 18 years ago. You know, my children were little. And, you know, Frank was like, go, it'll be good for you. And I'll be like, okay. You know, and I went. And it was like, I need this in my life. And I'm going to say it's been a saving grace for me. So you have women of all ages. You have sisters coming together. You have mothers and daughters who will come, girlfriends. So, you know, people come in alone, they come with others, and it ranges. You know, I'm going to say probably on this retreat, I don't think I have any women in their 30s, but I might. I don't know them all because I did, you know, I offered to, you know, people out there. So it's from St. Catherine's, but we do the other churches in the areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Toys and Holy Spirit. I have women from Floral Park, and so the, you know, communities around us. But it is advertised, it's opened, and it's a bonding. And I tell you, the women, you can see how they take care of one another and share their stories, because we all have stories, and they share these stories and how we learn from one another.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know.
I have one more
Tony,
question, and that's
only
it.
One more. Tony,
Tony, this, but it's really the best commercial for
it
a
is.
Retreat that
absolutely.
I've heard
it's,
in a
yes.
long time.
It's
yes.
the best
men
kept
and
secret.
Women.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a wonderful yeah. time for me when I'm home alone.
Yeah.
It's a retreat
now,
for him.
No, but, you know, but when you get away and you just have everything taken
yeah.
care of and you focus on God.
Yeah.
That's right.
If people are on the fence about coming,
mm-hmm.
what would you say to them that would take them off the fence?
I have a lot of people on the fence because a lot of women I invite are like, oh, okay, but
I'm not
they're looking
sure.
at me
I'm not
like
sure,
they're
yeah.
thinking we're going to, you know,
so what's
be
a powerful
too
holy. Sentence?
I'm not that, I just try to explain to them that, you know, it's hard because depending on the individual, there are reasons why they were on the fence for one or, you know, reason or another. So I think the invitation alone, the personal invitation is really what gives them that push. So you either say yes to that personal invitation.
Yeah, like we're trying
to do. The invitation really is from God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm the vessel
great
that say come, you know, but you really have to say that yes.
Great answer.
So I say there's different reasons, but I always tell them, do you need a little rest? That usually gets them.
That'll work.
Yeah.
No. I think you're going to get a lot of people.
Frank.
I could use
yes.
more.
Do you have any
Thank
special
you.
Assignments in your job over at St. Catherine's? Do you have any responsibilities, special responsibilities?
Yes, I do the baptism prep program along with Father Allen at St. Catherine's. I also...
I love Father Allen.
Mm-hmm. I'm assigned to funeral services on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
You know, and baptisms, of course, on it. We do them on a cycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when the church needs me, they call me as well. You know, but I'm always on assignment.
Well, but I want men who may be even thinking of this to realize that it's a commitment. It's not just getting ordained and that's it.
No,
a full-time kind of responsibility. Yeah.
You know something? Well. It's no more responsibility than living each day in grace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What you tend to find, I have found over these past 10 years, is how God makes you capable for you to do things you never thought you would do.
For example.
Okay. You know, when you think of wake services and dealing with the hardship and the trauma of someone passing away in the family, and you think, to yourself, how do I address this? You know, and you deal with your own personal feelings and your own inhibitions when you first begin about how do you deal with death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and over time, over the years, you determine and you realize how great a privilege it is to preside at that time with these people, be united with them, and the gift and the love that you share about the life of their loved ones. Because these people, you know, they're believers. They just sometimes need to be reminded that, you know, with there is love, death is not the end.
And you deal with the other end of the continuum, too, in that you do the baptism preparation.
That's right. Yeah. There's certain things you must get right.
Yeah.
Get the baptism, get the wedding, get the last send off to our father.
Yes,
you know.
So. I'm gonna make a joke because when they at the seminary there was a little. Well, it wasn't my joke. I didn't originate the joke, but they did say match, hatched, and dispatched.
Yes, absolutely.
Get it right.
But you also have another very important function. It's not every day, but you do homilies at the mass, right?
Is that what they're called?
Well, I think that's an important function because it's the homily. Is the center of the readings, so to speak.
Gospel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And by the deacons giving their homily gives a little different perspective than when the priest gives the homily. So I always, like, you know, I enjoy the homily from the priest, but I also enjoy the perspective of the homily from the deacon.
Mm-hmm.
He is part of the clergy. He is part of the echelon. But he's more, how can I say this? He's more attuned to
family
life.
Mm-hmm.
So I take what they have to say with a little bit more.
Well, they say we're a little bit more attached to the pew.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, now, why didn't I think of that?
Well, you know what, Anthony? You know, I'm a trial attorney.
Yes.
And there's such a big difference between presenting a case at trial and doing a homily. And the reason is, you know, when you do a case at trial, it's really about evidentiary, empirical evidence, you know, sitting at the facts, trying to convince somebody. When you're talking about God's presence in our life, you know, you really have to be introspective how it affects you as an individual.
Absolutely.
And everyone else out there that has lived that path, that has those same experiences. You
and
know.
They'll relate to it. How many times have you had the experience, and I've had the experience, where a priest or a deacon gives a sermon, I said, they're speaking right to me.
Yes.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the glory of knowing God's presence and love is that as an individual, you can let go and trust that what you say, and because you really reveal something of yourself at that moment, that God is there and saying, this is what you need to say. And that those out there are not judging you because they are on that journey and the words that you speak, they are God revealed.
But it gets a little deeper than that, to be honest with you. And I don't even know if I should say this, but it's like...
Good, say it.
When a deacon...
No, I don't think you should.
When a deacon gives,
let's vote.
When a deacon gives the homily, it's the homily from a person from the ranks... It's a homily from the pews, so to speak. It's a homily from a guy that's living everyday life, not living in a rectory, and nothing wrong with it, but not living in a rectory, but living with a family and children and stuff like that. So got a little bit you know, more perspective into it. Yeah. That's the way I look at it when I see a deacon and hear a deacon give a homily.
I also love music at Mass.
Yes,
I know. And I have a friend of mine who has a wonderful gift of music. He and his sister, Father Charles Mangano, and Laurie. And I chose a song just to kind of do a little transition here. But before that, this Friday night at St. John the Baptist Church in West Islip, Father Charles and Laurie are going to do a concert for the Consolation Ministry of the hospital, Good Samaritan Hospital.
That's correct.
It's $40 for the night, but that's all right because they do wonderful, wonderful things. They do concerts. They do nights of meditation.
Yes.
I know Father Charles started at your church.
Yes.
And he and Father Tony were there for a number of years.
Father Charles and Father Tony started at St. Catherine's.
Yes, they were like the dynamic duo.
They were the dynamic duo. Yes, I remember them well.
But I'd like to stop and just have them sing a prayer.
Yes.
And if you know the words, Frank.
Yeah, why don't you, Frank?
If I know the words.
Yes, join in.
Let them sing, Frank.
But not you, Palmer. Just Frank.
Let this be our prayer. grace. Give us faith so we'll be saved. Hail Ave, 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 Jesus.
I just wanted our audience to hear the quality of Father Charles and Laurie and how special they truly are.
They always were.
And they're going to have the June Taylor Jr. dances with them that night, too. So listeners may get a chance. Go over to St. John the Baptist.
When you see Father Charles and Laurie, it's, okay, a concert, but God's presence eliminates their whole being. So there's such a grace that pours. It's not just going to see someone perform. It really is such a grace that they both have.
And they're so
beautiful.
Down to earth.
Beautiful.
Their families at mostly all the concerts.
Father
Charles' sister's there. And
well, family
is
the word.
It's a joy to see the family, yeah.
And you feel like you're part of the family. You know, that's Father Charles. He's just, you know, when he was in our parish, you'd be like, but he could be like my cousin sitting at the table. And, you know, you just, there's such a welcoming and embracement of that.
Him
you
and Father
do feel
Tony,
like family.
They're together.
Family.
That was
beautiful.
Their first parish.
Now, Frank and Karen, we also do a scriptural reflection each week and a saint of the week.
Yes.
So I thought maybe we could move on to the scriptural reflection now.
Who's written by an unknown right, that doesn't want to be divulged.
One of these times, I'm just going to blurt out.
I know
the name.
You better not, Palmer. You better
this
not.
Is the scriptural reflection for the week. And you became imitators of us, and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction, with joy from the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model for all believers. See Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verses 5-10. Is your faith life and spiritual life, listeners, on automatic pilot? Don't we apply that phrase to people who are not really engaged or should be regarding their work? For them, their profession, job, vocation has become a chore to get done. There's no enthusiasm, zeal, or zeal in what they do. They're bored and they're boring. Be careful. Can we use that expression to describe how you listeners live out your faith and how you listeners pray or don't pray? St. Paul compliments the Thessalonians about becoming models for all believers. Can Pope Francis point to you as a model believer if he was looking for an example of holiness of life? To be such a model, St. Paul says, one has to be an imitator of the Lord. The problem for us is that it's much easier, requires less engagement and work to be an imposter rather than an imitator. It's much easier to be a Christian in name, but not in fact. Blessed Pope Paul VI once said that the world prefers witnesses to teachers. Are you such a witness, a model, an imitator of the Lord? Someone once asked the writer and social commentator G.K. Chesterton, "What's wrong with the world today?" He replied, "He is." Yes, that's right. As we waste our time complaining about how bad people and life is today, we have to remember we have no right to, if we ourselves are not models of holiness, imitators of the Lord, and not imposters. Pretty strong words.
Oh, and that was beautiful.
Pretty strong words.
But you know what, John? Powerful. It sounded like it was being read to for our listeners. It sounds like it was a message to our listeners.
Yeah, don't be an imposter, be an imitator.
Hmm? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
His reflections are really good, and you read them so well.
Well, I write them. I know how to tell everybody. And I
yeah, you write them.
Hello, Mr. Anonymous.
Tell us another one. Yeah.
Who's the saint? Who's the saint for the day? I can't wait.
Okay, I have to tell you. Let me give you a quick background about the saint of the day.
Okay.
I really wanted to do something to honor Karen because of her devotion and her support to Deacon Frank. And I have some good news and some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And the bad news I have is there is no St. Karen.
No.
But the good news is the door is open, Karen, for you to be the first St. Karen.
Wow.
It's open.
Wow.
And it's meant to be, maybe.
That's something
so,
to
but
inspire to.
The name Karen really, in my researches, and I did a lot of research on this, by the way, and it really seemed that it emanated from St. Catherine Genoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the name generated from.
Mm-hmm.
Why I looked up the APA citations, I looked up the MLA citations and stuff, and I couldn't really find out exactly why, but it is associated with St. Catherine. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about St. Catherine. But listen, keep
he
in
gets
mind.
Paid the big dollars to do that, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I do. But keep in mind, there's an open door there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a window of opportunity. Okay.
Thank you.
So who was this St. Catherine of Genoa? She was born in 1447 and died at the same place in Genoa in the year 1510. The life of St. Catherine of Genoa may be more properly described as a state than as a life in ordinary sense. When about 26 years old, she became the subject of one of the most extraordinary operations of God in the human soul, of which have been recorded, the result being a marvelous inward condition that lasted till her death. In this state, she received wonderful revelations. Maybe you want to call them private revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to call them revelations. But they are recognized. Of which she spoke at times of those around her, but which are many embodied in her two celebrated works, The Dialogues of the Soul and Body and The Treasures Prestes on Purgatory. Her modern biographies, chiefly translations and adaptations of an old Italian one, which is in itself founded on her memoirs, drawn up by the saint's own confessor and a friend, mingled what facts they gave of her onward life, with accounts of her supernatural state and doctrine, regardless of sequences, and in an almost casual fashion that makes them entirely subversive to a psychological history.
Hmm.
You might relate to that, Dr. Palmer. This
subverted.
Reminded me of you. These facts are as follows. St. Catherine's parents were Italian.
Oh, born there's the problem.
She's Genovese.
Two popes were associated with her, Innocent the 14th and Adrian the 5th, and had been the Ferrucci family, and Jacopo himself became Viceroy of Naples. Catherine is described as an extraordinary holy child, highly gifted in the way of prayer and with a wonderful love of Christ's passion, but also as having been a most quiet, simple, and extraordinarily obedient girl. When about 13, She wished to enter the convent, but the nuns to whom her confessor applied having refused her on account of her youth. And that happened to a lot of saints that wanted to go into the convent at a young age and were refused, by the way.
I wanted to go to the convent, yes. But I was too tall.
I know, and you didn't have much hair. And she appears to have put the idea aside without any further attempt once she was refused. At 16, she was married by her parents' wish to a young Genoese nobleman, Giuliano Ardano. The marriage turned out wretchedly. Giuliano proved faithless, violent-tempered, and a spendthrift, and made the life of his wife miserable. Details are scanty, but it seems at least clear that Catherine spent her first 5 years of her marriage in silent, melancholy submission to her husband, and that she then, for 5 years, turned a little to the world for consolation in her troubles. The distractions she took were most innocent, nevertheless destined as she was for an extraordinary life. They had the effect on her case of producing lukewarmness at the end, which was such intense weariness and depression that she prayed earnestly for a return of her old life. And just 10 years after marriage came the event of her life, the answer to her prayer. She went one day, full of melancholy, to a convent in Genoa, where she had a sister, a nun. The latter advised her to go to confession to the nun's confessor, and Catherine agreed. No sooner, however, had she knelt down in the confessional than a ray of divine light passed her soul, and in one moment manifested her own sinfulness and the love of God with equal clearness. The revelation was so overwhelming that she lost consciousness and fell into a deep ecstasy for a space during which the confessor happened to be called away. When he returned, Catherine could only murmur that she put off her confession and went home quickly. From the moment that the sudden vision of herself and God, the saint's interior state seems never to have changed, save by varying intensity and being accompanied by more or less severe penance, according to what she saw required of her in the Holy Spirit, who guided her. She was intensely guided by the Holy Spirit. No one could describe it except herself, but she does so minutely in her writings, from which here be made one short extract. The souls in purgatory see all things, not in themselves nor by themselves, but by as God wants them to see, on whom they are more intent on their own suffering. For the least vision they have of God overbalances all woes and all joys, and can be conceived. Yet their joy in God does by no means abate their pain. They are suffering in purgatory, for they are waiting for the moment when they will be lifted up by God. On the saint went out with life, after this great change in her biographies, practically tell us but two facts that at least converted her husband, who died in penance in 1497, and that both before and after his death, though more entirely after it, she gave herself to the care of the sick in the great hospital of Genova. When she eventually became manager and treasurer, she died, worn out with labors in body and soul, and consumed even physically by the fires of divine love within her. She was beatified in 1675 by Clement X, but not canonized till 1737. Sometimes it takes a while. Mm-hmm. So don't give up. And her writings had been examined by the Holy Office and pronounced to contain doctrine that would be enough in itself to prove a sanctity.
You know, it's nice that you chose a saint that we don't know too much about.
Yes.
On All Saints Day.
Yes.
Because we all have a chance to be saints.
Yes.
We have no idea. I have no idea really what's going on in your life or yours, Frank's, or yours, Karen. But we, you don't know what's going on in mine, but we could be sitting here with saints without even knowing it. Ralph Martin, I went to a conference with Ralph Martin last week, and he said, you know, he would prefer that anyone who wishes to be part and parcel of God shoot for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you miss, there's always purgatory.
Absolutely.
But if you shoot for purgatory
and you miss, you know where you're going, baby.
Downward slide.
Absolutely true.
So we gotta all try to be saints.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You know?
Well,
I think it's the conversion. Like while you were reading that, that's what you know inspires. Sometimes we go through adversities in our lives, right? And look at the hardship, and yet then you see the conversion when you said that the light just shined through her as she was in that confessional. That, and we all have those revelations. I mean, I believe that, you know, anything with God is supernatural, and the saints are able to withstand that supernatural empowerment and still be in this world but not of the world.
Absolutely.
And it's very hard to deal with that without prayer. That's why we have a healing prayer at the end of each show.
Yes.
So that we can encourage our listeners to say, hey, wait a minute now. There's more here than meets the eye, you know?
Yes, the prayer is the conversation with our Lord. We need that.
The I am.
So why don't we just stop for a few moments? And Jesus, we ask you to bring these budding saints who are our listeners into your court. And open their hearts to the beauty of your presence in them. Look at what Karen has talked about in Frank, and how God came into their lives and has touched them. And look at Tony, how God has touched him, and myself. And Lord, we ask today, will you touch the hearts, the souls, and the minds of all of our listeners, so that they become imitators of Christ and not imposters, so that they dig a bit deeper to try to find the truth of God's love in them, not their truth, not my truth, but your truth, Lord. Because we all can have our own views of what is and what should be. But we ask you, Lord, bless our listeners now. They sent us all these petitions, and Tony, you know them, I know them. Maybe you can mention a few of them.
Yes, and the petitions we have are from people that are depressed, people that are out of work, people that are suffering from cancer, people that are just suffering and just asking for mercy and help and from you, Jesus. And so we lift up these petitions to you in begging that you respond and answer them and cure those that need to be cured. And we give you thanks and praise and glory. And we ask that you stay by all our sides. You help us, guide us, hold our hand. Let us know that you are truly not only our best friend, but you really are our big brother. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you.
You know, inadvertently, a song kept playing. It's You Are Mine.
Yes.
And I think that's Jesus' answer to our prayers. Hey, listeners, you are mine.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening. We love you dearly.
We're not finished yet, but I think we should listen to the inspired words of the song.
Yes.
Jesus is talking to your heart, listeners.
I'm thinking you're so wise, Dr. I wish I could be that wise.
Healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see
Thank you. Want to sing?
We're ready.
All to freedom.
Yes, I am.
And the peace the world just cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now, rest and live.
That's right. Walk and live.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Jesus is talking to you, listeners.
I'm with you.
He's singing to you today.
I have called you each by name. I will follow me. I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
God always calls us home.
Yeah. That's what this program's all about. Listeners, you belong to God. Just open up and let him in.
Let his love flow.
I always tell parents that we are like children. And our children always need to tell that no matter what happens in life, regardless of what their age, no matter what choices they make, they can always come home. And that is God's love. That is God's message. I love you always. You can always come home.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Live life courageously.
And his love is unconditional. And Tony, would you believe I have one more song?
You do?
By Dana.
Oh, great. Oh, Dana.
Unconditional
love.
Oh,
I love Dana singing.
Beautiful.
Direct from Ireland.
She sings without a brogue, though. I don't know how she could. Where are you, Dana? You're on there somewhere.
She's there.
We'll end on an upbeat. Here's another word from God.
God bless you all. Thank you. It was wonderful. Wonderful morning. Thank you. Well, it was a joy to be here. I feel so uplifted. I'm good for the rest of the day.
You got me for about 10 minutes.
You guys are special. God continue to bless you and all that you do, both of you.
Next week is
it is fun. Yes.
200th show.
Ooh, wow, that's
big
a celebration
next week, everybody.
Yes, 200.
Make sure you show up, Palmer.
Oh, where's the applause sign?
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.